Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Who got fired this week? TNA is still giving the tag division some love. And who might be a GM on WWE TV? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
To another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Ric Flair might be the new GM on Raw. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, so reports are saying right now that because they're going to be in his neck of the woods next week, that Ric Flair is going to make a very, very surprise appearance and that they're going to announce him as the new general manager of Raw. Number one, it gives a lot of credibility to the brand because you have a former, he's actually like a 20-time world champion, somebody whose name is very recognizable. And actually, I think that's probably a good move for Ric Flair. I think that it'd be really good to see him back on TV. I liked him in TNA, and I think I'll like him back on WWE TV.
But, actually knowing what happened behind the scenes about, him all of a sudden leaving TNA because they basically offered him a contract, do you think there's going to be some bad blood between, some of the smart fans, if that makes sense?
And probably not. I don't think there's going to be really bad blood. I think maybe between TNA and Ric Flair, probably. I actually think that he came into TNA at probably one of the worst times, when Hogan and Flair came in there, the storyline that was going on for that year and a half wasn't that great. Right now, I think it's really great. And I think if you have Ric Flair there and you have a mentor, some young talent, I think it'd be really great. I had mentioned on the podcast before, him and Dolph Ziggler would be perfect. It'd be a really great route to go down, but having him as a GM role, also not a bad route to go either. I mean, he's a great showman, and he's very charismatic. I think he'll do well if that's the role that they have for him.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing him back on WWE TV. So, also for the WWE programming, AJ Lee gets fired. And they're doing a little mini thing going on with this, where it's her and Cena were out for a business dinner.
Where
do you go with this?
I don't really care about that. I mean, here's the problem. Cena doesn't have a good storyline going right now, so they're just trying to throw something in there that this is a short-term solution because the thing with Cena is going to only last for how long do you think? Maybe a month, maybe two, and that's it. Then it's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. It's not going to last for a very long time, and so that's the problem. My thought is that they don't know what to do with Cena right now. The only person they have to throw at him is Punk. After Punk, who else can he wrestle?
That's because they haven't been developing those next guys. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So Road Scholars, they're going to be taking on Team Hell No. Of course, Mysterio and Sin Cara lost. Kind of stunk because I really wanted them to go, but oh well. So it's Road Scholars versus Team Hell No. Mm-hmm. But is this... because they've been losing so many matches, do you think that's kind of like leaning towards, hey, this is what's going to happen? They're finally going to get a win. They're going to say they're the tag team champions. What do you think?
Yeah. So Team Hell No, individually, they've been losing a lot of matches. And I mean, a lot of matches. I mean, it's noticeable. When you see them lose match after match after match, it's like, okay. It's not even like, oh, well, he happened to win this one or this one won, but the other one lost. They're just losing. They're just losing. I think it's one of those things. I mean, WWE is very apparent when it comes to stuff like this. It's pretty well known that the people who lose are going to win on the pay-per-view. So Team Hell No is probably going to win. I really like that they've been developing these tag teams. And I really hope that they continue this route. I hope that, at Survivor Series, I would love to see a traditional Survivor Series match. 4-on-4, though, with tag teams. So you could have, Team Hell No and then Sin Cara and Mysterio take on the Road Scholars and then, whoever, another heel, like the primetime players. I would love to see that. Like, that would be a smart thing. And then if the other people win, then they could, you know, maybe wrestle and take on the tag team champions. Or if the other team wins, then, you know, Sin Cara and Mysterio can take on the tag team champions. Something like that. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, and you're right on that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, in all seriousness. But anyway, so has the United States Heavyweight Championship, is it now the European Championship? Like, what
do you think? Do you think it's kind of sunk to that level? Like, it's fallen. Like, the U.S. title in WCW was the real number two. Like, it was the title that somebody who was really on the verge of breaking out. Scott Hall had this. Diamond Dallas Page had it. Mm-hmm. Goldberg, Raven, and these were people that you thought of as upper mid cards, if not close to main eventers. Whereas over on WWE, like, the IC title was kind of more that mid card, you know, like, this is somebody who's almost at that top tier, but they're not quite there yet. And right now on WWE programming, the IC title is now kind of what the US title was in WCW, and the US title is now what the European title was over in WWE. I mean, it's so confusing, like, when you think about it. But the US title now is kind of the third tier title. I mean, do you think that's the case or no?
I think it actually has become that. I mean, because you got to remember that, like, I remember the U.S. title belt. That was one of those big things at WCW, was that you could demand a championship match. That was the one thing you could do. It would be nice if they would actually institute that now, saying, okay, I want it. I want a shot at you because I have this. I have first dibs on it. But then throw something else in the mix where, like, he can go up against him. But if he loses the first time, the second time, if he loses, he also loses the belt. You could have something along those lines as well. But it has, and that's the sad part, because I think that title means more than the Euro title, you know, or the Intercontinental title. I mean, it's United States. I mean, the Euro title is basically was their TV title. Or I guess the hardcore belt was, technically. Anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, you know, I think that the US title just, it's lost its luster. That's what I think it is. And, you know, it's one of those things where, unfortunately, right now you have somebody who is not nowhere near the level that Dusty Rhodes was, that Ric Flair, that Lex Luger, people who held the U.S. title. You have Antonio Cesaro holding it right now. I'm not saying that he's a bad wrestler, but he's nowhere near that level, and he's never going to be that level, I don't think. So anyway, let's move on, though, Andy. I want to know, you know, Ryback and Punk, you know, on this week's show, I felt like they didn't push it down our throat nearly as much. But, you know, at the very end of the show, you know, Punk goes, he takes on Sheamus, he wins, you know, by kind of getting some interference help. And then Ryback comes out. So I got to ask, does this build up the suspense? Does this make it more worthwhile for this match?
I think they teased it good for ending Raw. I think the way they did that, that's the way it should have been done. Because you could tell that the WWE locker room doesn't like him, because they, of course, threw him right back in, you know, they threw Punk back in, of course, and yeah, Punk ended up winning, didn't he?
Yeah, correct. He did.
So he won that match, but then Ryback comes out as soon as it happens. It was kind of cool how it was done. It made me want to give you a little bit more, because they interacted in the ring, gave him the shell shock as well. You know, like, I kind of want to see more, and that's going to tease it, and that's probably why they're going to sell some pay per views.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think what you know, we'll talk about later, but I think what might happen is going to be better. I mean, what do you think about it?
Yeah, you know, I still think that, you know, aside from them pushing Ryback a little too soon, I think that they did a good job of really teasing it. I do think, though, that Punk didn't look nearly as strong as he could have. And I think that's the problem. You want to have a very strong protagonist, very strong antagonist, you know, you want to have somebody there who's going to, you know, it's a battle, Rock versus Cena, you know, you take a look at, I don't know, Hogan and versus Warrior, things like that. And so that's the thing, you know, you got those people. I feel like this isn't, you know, nearly the same.
You don't think so? I'm surprised.
No, I don't. I just don't think I think if it was, I don't know, maybe 6 months from now, I think it would be more the same. I think then it would be like, oh, dude, Ryback's finally taking on Punk. Like, that's really cool. I cannot wait to see this. I don't feel like it was like, I don't feel like this is like that, you know?
Yeah, but
that's just kind of, that's kind of my thought on it. You know, I mean, we do need to move along, and we'll talk about it in our week.
We sure will. So we need to thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out the Section 86 Off The Mark page. You'll see a little banner. If you want to go to WWEShop.com, just click through that banner. Spend at least $70. You get $10 off that order. Also, make sure you check out HighSpots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan... What's going on? I mean, Morgan just came in, gave him the boot, and that was it.
To RVD.
Yeah. So is it like Buff and stuff? You know, like Buff is Joey Ryan's, and you know, stuff is whatever his name is.
Yeah. No. I think that they're probably gonna go the route Joey Ryan's gonna take on RVD. But Matt Morgan's going to be the guy who's really going to like help him win the title. I'm kind of surprised that they would have RVD kind of, you know, in this kind of mix. That kind of surprises me a little bit. I like Joey Ryan, and I'm glad that they're getting him involved in this. I'm surprised that they didn't have Joey Ryan going up against maybe like a Robbie E or Robbie T. You know, or even Zema Ion. But I mean, I understand that Joey Ryan's supposed to be the heel. And so who's another like smaller wrestler that they could have him wrestle? There's not really anyone. So going after RVDs, I mean, that's probably their next logical choice.
And it's actually interesting to see what they'll do, because you can almost have Joey Ryan. I mean, if he beats RVD, that puts him on the map right off the bat. There's no way around it. You have him beat someone that big. And then the X Division title is going to be on the next pay-per-view as well. You know, that's going to get a lot of love. I mean, they're giving love to all the titles, actually. Even the TV title.
Yeah, just want to point out, TV title was defended this week.
Yes.
So Austin Aries and Mr. Anderson had a little spat. A really great match. Of course, really funny production.
The promo was the best so far. Cut. Cut to Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pretty good stuff. Do you think that Anderson's going to get thrown into the title picture by chance?
This is the first part of it. I like, because the thing is, I think it's going to be a little slow build, because, you know, Aries is going to lose to Hardy at the next pay-per-view. And so you know that there has to be someone to be the next person who's going to face, you know, have Mr. Anderson do it. And I think it actually worked out pretty good. And actually, you would actually know that Hardy's going to keep the title for at least 4 months then, which is actually
I think it'd be nice too. And if you did a three way, you know, you have Anderson, Hardy, and you know, AA. I mean, I think that'd be a pretty great thing to do. Now, the other thing that's interesting is that Bully challenged D-Von in Open Fight Night next week.
This is going to be a big deal, because this Ace and Eights. I mean, this is a member of that group. You know, why wouldn't you want to see this? And it's great that he finally called him out, because, well, actually, it's kind of not, because you almost want to say this for a pay-per-view.
Which is weird, because it's like, well, we've seen these two wrestle before, you know?
Yeah.
But you're kind of excited to see it. And I got to say, D-Von as a heel and in this role, this is one of those things where TNA is doing something really, really right. And I think that taking a look at storyline building right now, I look at, you know, the two products out there, WWE and TNA. WWE, it seems like they are just chasing ratings, and that they are just trying their hardest to be like, oh, well, you know, we may not have John Cena, so we're going to just try to push this guy down your throat, you know, that type of thing. And over at TNA, they're like, okay, we're going to build things for the future. So we're doing something right now, and it may not be super apparent, you know, like in 2 months, but it's gonna be really apparent in 6 months, and it's gonna be like, whoa, that was a really smart thing that you did. And I think that's what TNA is doing. I think that they have a really smart building process right now, and I hate to say it, cross my fingers, no one super important has gotten injured yet, And so the thing that they're doing, they don't have to worry about having all these diverging storylines because everyone is healthy. And I think that they're doing really great, you know, especially with Bully and Devon.
Do you think that TNA just has more main eventers than WWE?
You know what? They do.
Because if you think about it, they got, I can say almost 8 right now. And I'm missing some people. And you have guys who are main eventers, but they decided to go to mid-card. But it could take one match, and then they're back up to a main eventer. Christopher Daniels.
Let's look at WWE, though, real quick.
Okay. Who? CM Punk, John Cena, Big Show.
We're going to stay with Raw.
Sheamus? No,
let's stay with Raw.
You just got those two guys. You have no one else. You have
Ryback is on Raw now. He got moved over to Raw.
Ryback does not count.
They count him as a main eventer, though. He's in the main event.
Fine. We'll say it's those three, all right? Shouldn't you have at least 6, if not 8?
You should probably have 8, yeah. And then let's look at SmackDown, their main eventers. Actually, SmackDown technically has more because you have Big Show and Sheamus.
Uh-huh.
You have Del Rio is considered main eventer and Randy Orton. I mean, Wade Barrett is on the cusp. You know, he's right there. He's ready to go, but he's not there yet.
That's 9.
So I wouldn't even count Wade Barrett. I'd say he's an upper mid card, you know, but you have 4 and you have 3. So you have 7 main eventers on all of WWE.
And TNA has at least 9.
You know, I mean, TNA, you have, of course, your AJ Styles, you have Kurt Angle. Samoa Joe is, in my opinion, still main eventer. You know,
Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries, Bobby
Roode, James Storm,
Mr. Anderson,
Bully Ray.
That's 9.
Yeah.
Hogan.
I guess
that doesn't count.
It's not a wrestler.
So that's 9. Okay, so that's 9 that are main eventers. And like I said, you can throw Christopher Daniels in the mix too, but he's also, he can be either way.
And I would say he's like a Wade Barrett, in my opinion, you know, like, you know, right there, but not, you know, yeah. But either way, I mean, you still have, you have this laundry list of players, you have laundry list of wrestlers who, obviously, I mean, they are the top tier, you know, over in TNA. And so I think maybe that's why their product right now currently is better. Yep. But let's kind of get back on to topic. Kaz and Daniels still want the gold. What did you think of this segment? And what do you think of the tag division right now?
How the heck did Chavo become a face?
Oh, dude, he's always been the face. Come on.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
All right. He's the face. To me, it made them seem more face than heel. That's how I looked at it. I guess you can almost consider them a tweener. You know, because of who was in, you know, because you had AJ Styles and Kurt Angle in the mix. So
they were still the faces, though. You know, I mean, they were a face team.
I'd say it was more in between, but then they became full face when, you know, the segment with that happened with Kaz and Daniels.
What did you think, though, of Kaz and Daniels blasting Hogan? They referred to him as Mr. Nanny. Then yes. they kept saying, like, referenced his botched movie career. They really, like, the stuff that they were saying to him, I was like, holy crap. Like, I can't believe that they're getting away with
this. Are they going to say something about the sex tape? That's what I was waiting for when they started going through that stuff. And I was like, okay, they're going to say blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Like, hey, what do you think about Bubba the Love Sponge?
Yeah.
Speaking of love sponges, Hogan. Yeah, I was quite surprised about that. And then, you know, the next big thing over on TNA is Hardy's taking on Austin Aries at Turning Point.
Which I like the joke that Aries put out, because if you, at least I have DirecTV, but I've been missing the last few minutes of TNA lately because they've been going over. And I like the fact that he said, I don't care if we're on or whatever anymore. I thought that was pretty funny. but he came out and told, he told Jeff that, hey, I'm taking you at Turning Point, and then takes the real title, not the crappy
eye-looking,
you know, title that they have. So
I like that.
Yeah, so basically he took that title. So he's saying that he is a TNA champion, and basically Jeff is the made-up champion, the champion of champions or whatever.
And there is one thing I should point out, which is I gave TNA a lot of praise. The opening thing that they did where Hardy was internalizing like about Mr. Anderson and Bully Ray and everything. You see him walking and then you hear the voiceover. I was sitting there going, what the hell are they doing right now? I saw that and I was like, there must be something wrong with my feed. There's something wrong with my feed. There's no way that they are going this route, but they were.
Of course. And they've done this multiple times now.
And they've done these weird things. Yeah,
it's just, come on, like, who thought this up? And, you know, who is doing the production stuff? And
yeah. Some things work, some things don't. I hope that that's one that they go, you know what? That one didn't work.
Yeah. So we need to talk about our weekly topic, which, of course, is the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view that you're going to be watching. It looks actually pretty good. They built up the whole tag division. And then do you think that it just got to a point with the tag titles, that it just kind of dropped off? Like when Mysterio got, you know, like when he got sick?
I mean, I think it hurt a little bit. And so you kept seeing the tag matches, you know, between random teams, basically. I do think that hurt a little bit. I wouldn't have mind to actually see the tag thing be a little bit larger. I mean, we had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams, right? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, we had 6 teams, I think. No, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I can't read. We had 8 teams. You know, if you had 16, I don't know if there even was 16 teams. I don't even know if there are 16 wrestlers in the WWE, to be honest.
Well,
but, you know, the more the merrier, it makes it like a bigger deal.
You had 16 guys that were actually in a storyline, which is hard to do, but you're able to do that with this tournament. You got to give WWE credit. They got a lot of people who wanted to, wrestle, and they actually got the opportunity to, and it's on Raw. It's not Superstars or a dark match with someone.
Yeah, and they actually did have some of these. I mean, SmackDown main event, and Raw. I mean, so you did have these actually happen at other places. And I think it was smart to, you know, kind of have it paced out almost where, okay, this one is on SmackDown. Okay, that the first match is on SmackDown. Next one's on main event. Okay, now this one's on Raw, you know. Doing things like that, I think, was smart. And because they had 6 weeks to build up to the pay-per-view, I think that helped it out. I really do. So I think that was probably a smart move on their part. I think so.
You know what they could have done, though? They could have actually done, you know, 8 on Raw, 8 on SmackDown, and then they would meet, and whoever won that, they got the chance at the titles. Kind of like, you know, like instead of doing football where it's 6 and 6, just do straight 8. Those two guys meet, bam, there you go. So then you actually you have 32 wrestlers then that are wrestling.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of what I thought too, was, you know, doing the 16 teams. But it, like you said, you mentioned this, there were 16 wrestlers in a storyline, you know, 18 if you include the champions. I mean, that's a lot.
Oh, that's true.
Let's talk about this though, Andy. Team Hell No to take on Road Scholars.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to win?
I'm going to give it to Team Hell No. I just think they're going to keep the titles, because with the Road Scholars, I think that it's kind of just like a couple week thing. Because if you know, like on Raw, of course, Damian Sandow actually said something, and then Cody Rhodes goes, "What he said,"
mm-hmm.
And I took that as like, are they trying to turn, you know, Rhodes heel or tween, or what are you trying to do?
Well, I mean, they're already heel, so.
Well, yeah.
Here's the thing. Team Hell No, you have nothing else to do with them. So that's why you have to have them win. You have to. Moving on, though, to a couple other matches. Let's go to the Intercontinental Championship. Kofi's taking on Miz. Do you see Miz getting the title back?
No, I think Kofi's going to keep it. I truthfully believe Kofi's going to, you know, keep the IC title, because he actually has the IC title. You know, Johnny Curtis doesn't, which I still have to apologize for. But yeah, I think Kofi's going to keep it. I think that with the WWE video game coming out, for some reason, I just see certain people have the title, because you can put, you know, you don't want to put Antonio Cesaro out there, but you can put Kofi Kingston out there. You mm-hmm. can put CM Punk. You got two different crowds right there. You're done. And it's kind of nice. And the thing is, when they come out and they have the gold, I think more people come out if it's a champion. So, you know, it could be that.
Yeah. I could see that too.
You know, but like it, realistically though, if the Miz retains, or I'm sorry, if the Miz actually wins the title, to me, it's like, why? Why did Kofi have it for only a couple weeks?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I'm going to say it right now. Kofi is definitely going to retain.
And I agree with that. Now let's go on to a singles match. Orton taking on Del Rio. What do you think? I mean, do you think Del Rio wins this here, or do you think Orton gets back on his winning ways?
Del Rio is going to win this. And I think it's going to be cheap. I think somehow Ricardo is going to come in there. He's going to get RKO'd or, you know, whatever. But I truthfully believe that Del Rio is going to win. And he's probably going to come out, we'll say, a spider.
You know, I think that Del Rio will probably win also. I think that they're going to further this match a little bit more. Maybe even have it break into the World Heavyweight title match, which is Sheamus taking on Big Show. I don't know if this one is in the cellar or not. I think they said it is. But with that said, I got Sheamus in this one. I mean, they're going to try to, you know, have this be a long, drawn-out feud. I think that Big Show should win, but I think that Sheamus will.
Okay, so now we need to talk about what I think is going to happen. What I think is going to happen is Big Show is going to win with the WMD. But I think Sheamus is going to give him a bro kick at the same time, so they're both knocked out. But I think Big Show will land on top of Sheamus. 1, 2, 3. Dolph comes out, cashes it in. 1, 2, 3. He wins the title. That's what I think is going to happen.
I hope it does. I actually want him to get the title. And, you know, it's probably the smart time to do it, too, because Dolph Ziggler is probably not going to have the World Heavyweight Championship for WrestleMania.
No.
Let's be honest here.
No.
He's not.
So
you give him the title now and let him hold the title for, like, I don't know, 3 months. Yeah, till Royal Rumble.
Drops it to Royal
Somebody
Rumble.
Else wins it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's why I think this is going to happen. I think this is the right time, too, because they've been waiting so long. And what better way? Give Big Show the title. You give him the title, and then that's twice that he's won the title, and someone catching it on. And that could tick him off even more, which is great. I think that's what they should do. But anyways, the next match, which we know for a fact is in a Hell in a Cell, it's CM Punk versus Ryback for the WWE Championship. I'm going to have to go right now. I'm going to have to still say CM Punk's going to win. And I think what you said, you know, you can say what you said, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I said, I think it was last week, that I think that Brock Lesnar is going to come out and F5 Ryback. I got to say this. I think that I don't want to say CM Punk's going to win. I'm going to say CM Punk is going to retain. I'm guessing that this match is going to end in a, you know, stoppage of time or, you know, some stupid thing. Because it's Hell in a Cell, so it's no DQ, okay? Hell in a Cell match is always a no disqualification. And so because of that, you can't have a CM Punk win by DQ or Ryback win by DQ or whatever. But they can still stop the time or say this has gotten too violent or no contest or something stupid like that. Cause that's why I think it's going to happen. Cause they don't want to make Ryback look bad. And so that's what I think they're going to do.
I see a spear through the steel cage. And I think cause CM Punk's going to take all the bumps. He's going to have to make Ryback look so good. And of course, you know, Skip Sheffield will of course forget about it. But
let me ask you this question.
How long of a match can it be, though?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Because Ryback can probably go 5, maybe 10 minutes. He can't go 20 to 30, which is what this match should be. It should be 20 to 30 minutes. It's Hell in the Cell. You do stuff in the ring. You go outside and do stuff out there. You have a big bump, you know, whatever. Works out. Man. How? Because it's going to be like 15 minutes. No, it'll be 25 minutes, and 10 of it will have – it'll be Brock Lesnar, you know, taunting Ryback or whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll be something around stupid. With his Jimmy John's sponsor.
So let me ask you this then. Taking a look at the pay-per-view, 5 matches are advertised. There's going to be a women's match thrown in there.
Yeah, you know there is. Caitlin versus Eve is what it's going to be.
Yeah. So 6 matches. You take a look at this. How much is this pay-per-view worth to you?
Besides the last match, or we hope that CM Punk is the main event, that's pretty much it. That's what's going to sell this pay-per-view. I mean, because they haven't announced a women's match, which, you know, could be a three-way match.
Who's going to buy it for the women's match? No, I'm asking you, you know, like you hear your cable operator goes, how much do you want to pay for this pay-per-view? What do you say?
$4.95.
So this pay-per-view is only worth $5 to you.
Yep.
Wow.
Because I just want to see what's going to happen with CM Punk and Ryback. That's all I care about. The rest I could care less right now. I mean, there'll be, you know, I bet you Kofi and The Miz are going to put on a great match. But Orton, Del Rio could care less. Team Hell No, Sheamus, Big Show, I mean, nothing's really getting it. I mean, unless they had something where Dolph was teasing that he's going to cash it in, which he hasn't been. You know, something, and that's it. What's going to be the pre-show also on YouTube? Who's going to wrestle? Are they going to have Zack Ryder wrestle then?
Antonio Cesaro.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, actually, it'd be Justin Gabriel, technically, because he has the win over him.
Yeah, it'll be something stupid, but I'll say this. I would say the pay-per-view is probably worth $29.95. You know, to me, it's worth $30. I think that I would pay $30 for this, knowing one thing though, I would have other people over.
You know, split the cost.
It would be like Spring Stampede for WCW. That's what it would be like for me. You know, I mean, think about it. Like those pay-per-views were like, ugh, you know, who cares?
Everyone threw in $10. There's six of us. What would we do with the rest of the $30? Three pizzas.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Hell in a Cell to me, like, I'm just kind of like, I'm over it. I'm just looking forward to the Ryback stuff being over.
Yeah, and I'd like to see what they do with it, in all seriousness. I just want to see how this is going to be written, because right now when you look at TNA, some of the stuff they're doing, it's making sense now. And the WWE are like, did they just throw stuff on the wall and like whatever stuck up there the longest, that's what, you know, idea they're going with, you know?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.